Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.
Falta is Jack is Theha. Tosh Vigeshtukle. Encore or Midlands 103. It is Claire O'Brien with you here each and every Thursday night, and I bring you the very best of what's happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Tonight on the programme, Seamus O'Rourke entertains us with The Empty Nest. It is a new play by a debut writer and it's at Tour Ard next Tuesday night. Tonight and this weekend in the Kiltoom Drama Society are bringing The Faraway Hills to the stage. The director, Ollie Hegarty, brings us up to speed on what is Lennox Robinson's slightly lesser well-known play. And art, visual art, an exhibition by Cecilia Danel at Dunamace, and that is to celebrate their 25th birthday. Congratulations. What's happening in the arts around the Midlands at the moment? Well, don't forget, encore at midlands103.com is the email address if you ever want to let me know what's happening in your area. But what is happening at the moment in the next 7 days? Marie-Louise Martin is doing a printmaking demonstration at Esker Arts Centre on Saturday. And just to let you know, also tomorrow night week, Anne Gildee, who was on the show with us earlier on this year, is bringing her own show, How to Get the Menopause and Enjoy It, to Esker Arts next week. You will get that interview on the Encore podcast. Also on the Encore podcast, you will get The Land of Make-Believe from Speak Out Drama Group, who were with us not too long ago, which is a really special performance and a lovely young cast there as well. At Mullingar Arts Centre tomorrow night, you can catch the music of Ed Sheeran. And the Dean Crowe Theatre has Cinderella from Shannon Dance Academy on Saturday and Sunday. And for one night only, tomorrow at Tour Ard, you will catch Tommy Maron's Nobody's Talking to Me from Rosemont Players. So lots happening across the Midlands over the coming week. Do get in touch with us, as I say, to encore at midlands103.com if there's something that you're involved in that you would like us to know about. We are going to take a little break, and when we come back, we are straight in to drama, because it is all happening across the Midlands. Stay with us on Encore on Midlands 103.
Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.
You're very welcome back to Encore. There is drama in Kiltoom tonight. Tonight and on the 21st until the 24th of March, because Kiltoom Drama Group are bringing to the stage Lennox Robinson's play, The Faraway Hills. It's been directed by Ollie Hegarty, who needs no introduction, but Ollie might give us an introduction to the play, because Lennox Robinson is well known for The White-Headed Boy. But Ollie, this one is a little bit less well known, isn't it?
Yeah, it's relatively speaking, it is slightly well less known. It's three or four plays that were, I suppose, well done in terms of the number of theatre groups that would have done them. And as you rightly said, The White-Headed Boy was one of them. This was the other one. And the third one was, just escaped me for the moment, I think of it. But it had about three that were done fairly widely. But this one, after a while, was done more frequently than any of the others. It was actually done in the Abbey about eight times over a sort of 20-year period. So it was very popular, one of his plays, by the 1940s.
Yeah.
It was written in 1928, but by 20 years later, it was done in the Abbey, as I say, seven or eight different times over a sort of a 20-year period. So, yeah, over time, it became a very popular one.
And why is it the one that you've chosen to revive this year in Kiltoom?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a rural, set in a rural environment, so it'll go down well in the Kiltoom audience. The other thing, from a practical point of view, it's got 10 of a cast, so everybody gets to have a part.
Mm.
So, you know, and there's 5 male, 5 female, so it's one of those big kitchen sink, type
domestic
plays where,
yeah,
where lots of roles for the group. And the play is very kind of nostalgic. It's Ireland 96 years ago, so it's, I think that'll go down very well in a kind of rural community. I direct in a little theatre. I'm not sure I'll do the play there, but I know it'll go on very well in Kiltoon.
And I imagine then when you describe it as, you know, coming from 1928, it has a lot of those characteristics and those experiences that we would expect, you know, in a kind of a small town, family-based drama. We're going to have the intrigues, we're going to have probably those outside influences of maybe possibly a quite repressive society, maybe a repressive church influence. Can we expect a bit of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the main characters in it, she had been destined to become a nun, you know, let's say for 25 years. You know, that was a kind of vocational thing. And you get all those kind of backdrops in it. The church, as you rightly say, the role of the church, the language that's in it is very kind of conservative in that sense, but loads, and it's laced with so much humour. And it's, you know, it's about love. It's about loss. It's about change. It's about a changing society. There's her two young sisters in it. You know, they're in their teens, and you can see them being more outward looking and more progressive than the older sister who's trying to set the example. So it's got that lovely balance as well. And you can see a changing society through the lens of the play, you know. So it's a lot of people will identify with it and think, you know, back to, God, that reminds me of my grandmother or my aunt or whatever, you know.
And a changing family dynamic too, with the arrival of Pierce Hegarty, who kind of knocks everybody's equilibrium around, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's the sort of you know, the stranger that comes to town and shakes things up a bit. He's very progressive, and he's, you know, he's got all these great ideas in terms of business and stuff like that. So he's very different to your safe you know, country boy, and he attracts the attention of at least one or two of the female members of the cast, who for different reasons you know, have an eye in him, you know. So yeah, absolutely. So he's change. He represents change and represents you know, an outside influence that sort of shakes the balance, if you want to call it that, or the safety and all of that. Yeah. And he rocks the boat a little bit.
So we have comedy, but dramatic comedy. You have some new performers, some kind of Pierce Hegarty's, if you like, coming into Kiltoom Drama Group as well. So you've a mix of the old and the new on the cast this time.
Yeah, I mean, trying to, over the last couple of years, where possible, get a couple of, you know, new people in every play. And we've three new people in this one. We've a young local actress, Claire Lamass, who's with us for the first time, and she's a real talent. You'll see lots of Claire over the next few years. She's really talented young woman, and really sort of really brings the play alive of the role that she plays. She happens to be playing with her role. She's a sister in the play with another young girl that I cast a couple of years ago. She's local, Rebecca Collins, and the two of them together are worth the appearance money alone. They play the part of two sisters, and let me tell you, together they just add they add something very, you know, a kind of a supplement that's more than the sum of the parts. So they're excellent actually together, and they're sort of in their teens, looking at all the changes happening around them and trying to get out of this house and get to Dublin or get to America or whatever, and, you know, see a big world out there. So really good. And we have a fellow called John Quinlan. John Stack is playing the father of the house, and has done an excellent job in it. And Nicola Gill. Nicola is a member of the Parents Association out here in Ballybay, and we were trying to get a few of the members of that committee to join the drama, and fair play to Nicola. Nicola's the first, hopefully, of many that'll have over the next couple of years. So this is her first time on stage, and she's doing a great job.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Because, you know, you mentioned at the top there about a play that would meet the cast that you have. But it's not just about the numbers. It's also about the chemistry. Because if you can have the numbers and not have the chemistry in the cast, and it doesn't matter what the play, it's not going to work.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, and when you have 8 weeks, you know, the one thing you have an opportunity to do as the director is just try and, well, it's both in the casting, but also in the direction, is is, and I can say in this particular play, more than maybe many plays I've done past, there's just fantastic chemistry. John Stack is doing a great job as the father of the house. John Quinlan is doing a great job as Pierce, that outsider, and you know, the two girls I mentioned, the two young daughters, so to speak. And then we've the older sister is played by Maeve O'Reilly. Maeve is doing a fantastic job. She's the sister destined to be a nun, and as things work out, there's a slightly different future before her. But she's excellent. She really plays that kind of moral tone, sets a moral tone for the house, and let's say that events hijack her. And the outcome is a little bit different than she first thought. But it's a lovely little story. It's a story of rural Ireland. It's a story about change. It's about love. It's about the external and the internal, and you know, stretching and getting used to slightly different influences and see how they affect the characters. And yeah, I think it'll go down really well.
You can tell it is not Ollie Hegarty's first rodeo when it comes to encouraging an audience to come along to one of the plays that he is involved in. Kiltoom Drama Group are presenting The Far Off Hills by Lennox Robinson, and you can catch it at Kiltoom Parish Hall tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night and Sunday night, and tickets are available at the door. It's cash only, please. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are heading to the Dunamase Theatre in Portlaoise, where they have an exhibition launching this weekend to celebrate their 25th anniversary. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103.
Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowetheatre.com.
You're welcome back to Encore, and still to come on the programme, I will be talking to the wonder that is Seamus O'Rourke about the upcoming production of The Empty Nest, which he is starring in at Tour Ord in Moat. In Portlaoise, the Dunamase Arts Centre is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and as part of the celebrations, they are opening a brand new exhibition tomorrow featuring the work of Cecilia Danelle. Her work is, it's really, really beautiful. The exhibition is curated by the Kevin Kavanagh Gallery, and Cecilia's work is just extraordinary. I chatted with her recently ahead of the exhibition, and I began by asking her to give me, first of all, just a little insight into the background to her work and to her creative process.
Yeah, so I'm from Sweden originally, and I moved to Ireland 20 years ago to go to art college in Galway, and I ended up staying. So yeah, so I'm based in Galway City. At Engage Art Studios, and I've been there for a number of years. However, my work is very much concerned with the kind of area where I grew up in Sweden, in southern Sweden. So I go back there a lot just to do research. I kind of spend a few weeks there at a time, a couple of times a year, and work out of there and walk in the landscape and try to kind of soak up like the atmosphere of a particular place that I want to depict. And it's become this thing that I kept doing for over 10 years now at this point. I go back there, spend time, gather research materials that I then bring back to my studio in Galway and work with in terms of large scale painting. But when I'm working in the studio, then it becomes very much about the act of painting and what oil paint can do and acrylic paint. And I often work quite large in scale as well. So some of the works in this exhibition particularly, this one work is 2 by 2 meters, so that's about as big as I go. But yes, I mean, I'm mostly a painter. I would have done painting as my specialization in art college, but my work would also take in installation work and sculpture and different other things that all kind of ties in with the same subject matter about nature, our place in nature, how I kind of perceive the landscape and things like that. So, I mean, that's something that has interested me, continues to interest me for years.
Take us to the scenery, to when you go home to the south of Sweden.
Yeah, so I grew up in the countryside on a horse farm. So it's kind of surrounded by forest. So what I usually do is I kind of sit out for a few hours at a time, and go for walks in areas that are familiar to me and sometimes places I haven't been, but I kind of branch out more and more and I have a kind of idea of the place I kind of want to go and explore. And I bring my camera and I bring my notebook and I just I try to see what I come across in that moment. And then I often write down little notes about the journey and what I've done and what I've seen and go through pictures. And sometimes when I encounter something in the landscape, I just know straight away that it's something I want to paint. And other times I have to go through research material afterwards and see what kind of stands out to me. But it's very much to do with like that exact encounter. Like when I go through photographs, I have a memory of the place and I know the place outside of the research image. And that's why it's so important to me to be in the landscape personally before I depict it and to have a memory of the place. So I can't wait too long before I deal with the research images. I have to kind of still remember what it was like when I was out there.
And the images are really beautiful. And as you said, they're large, so they're really impressive and give a sense of the magnificence of the scenery. But they're also a little larger than life, I suppose, in terms of the colour palette that you like to use.
Yeah, that's true, because I've always had a great interest in colour theory, and I just love kind of introducing like arbitrary colors that aren't really there in the landscape as well. So the way I work, even though it's based in a real place, I often kind of play up the colors a little bit. Or one thing I love doing is I often kind of introduce these kind of abstract areas and kind of drips that I paint within and around and stuff like that. And that way I can kind of bring in other kind of complementary colors and play around with the fact that it is a 2D painting. You know, I have certain kind of flat areas that brings me back to the fact that it is a flat surface, even though it's, you know, it's depicting like a natural scene. So I just love kind of playing with perception and kind of bringing the viewer back to the idea that it is painting after all and not a photograph. So, yeah.
Yeah, because there's something that is kind of very familiar, but also disconcerting is too strong a word, but playful about it at the same time.
Yeah, no, I love that kind of playfulness. And I think sometimes even when people see maybe small pictures, you know, online or on a phone screen of my work, they probably think that it's a little bit more realistic than it actually is. When you come up close and you kind of see the paintwork and the drips and the things like that, it's almost like little micro kind of abstract areas within the big kind of figurative piece. So I always love kind of playing around with those kind of things as well.
Something else that has struck me about the work is, I mean, the spaces that you're visiting in nature are clearly very vast in their scale. But yet in the imagery, in what you paint, you're taking almost like moments from those vast landscapes. But they don't seem like small moments. They seem like enormous moments in an enormous landscape. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that's the kind of thing. I think it's all about that kind of encounter. I think rather than trying to maybe paint like a big kind of heroic vista or something, sometimes it's something that's kind of like, you know, quite close to me when I'm encountering it. And it can be just like a small little snapshot of something that I found interesting or you know, and it makes the viewer kind of able to maybe step into the scene themselves when they're encountering that, because it's on a human scale. You're not kind of overlooking like a huge landscape in the distance. Like everything is kind of like quite close at hand. You know, like I'm very interested in situating myself within the landscape as well when I'm there and when I'm depicting it as well. So it has that kind of human scale as well, I suppose, even though it's quite large work.
So I want to ask you finally, Cecilia, when audiences come to see the work in Portlaoise, how would you like them to engage with it? What's your sense of what you'd like their experience to be, the communication that you'd like to have with them?
Like I'm quite open to people just kind of going in there and kind of seeing what they think of when they see my work, even though every single place does exist. And I have been there and I have depicted it and I have played around with it a bit, and obviously with the colours and all that. I never find it that important really to like pinpoint exactly where a certain location is. I'm very interested in people having their own ideas and the things that they project onto the work, and people can take different things from it. You know, some people who might be painters themselves, they might be more interested in maybe looking at the brushwork or up close and how things are done, and other people might see it more as maybe dream imagery or something else that, you know, that they're reminded of. So yeah, so I'm quite open to various interpretations really.
And Cecilia Danel's work will be available to see at the Dunamase Arts Centre to the 27th of April. We're going to take a break. And after that, it is the wonder that is Seamus O'Rourke. You're listening to Encore on Midlands 103. Do stay tuned.
Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crowe Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowetheatre.com.
Welcome back to Encore here on Midlands 103. Now, Seamus O'Rourke is an actor, a writer, a raconteur, I think is fair also to say, from County Leitrim. And he needs no introduction, really, but he is coming to Tour Ard in Moat on the 26th of March, and that is next Tuesday. He's in a performance of The Empty Nest by Oisín Flores Sweeney. And you're thinking, I haven't heard of The Empty Nest and I haven't heard of Oisín. And that's because it's a brand new play by a debut writer. Seamus is starring with Joan Sheehy, the wonderful Joan Sheehy. And I caught up with him recently and asked him, first of all, about the truth in the rumour that the play is a bit like Gogglebox on speed, which I thought sounded really, really entertaining.
Yeah, it's not a bad way of describing it. In that it's two people watching television, and you would say what could happen in a play like that, but strangely, quite a bit. And it is the usual arguments over what to watch and all that that goes on in every house, but there's also a lot of commentary on the world as we see it now. The strange thing about the play was it's written about an older couple, and it's written by a very young man, Oisín Flores Sweeney, who's only in his late 20s or early 30s or around that.
And anyway, this is his debut play.
His debut play, it came about because he sent the play to our director Jeff Gould, who's director of Blood in the Alley Theatre Company, and Jeff saw something in Oisín that he really liked, and we did a wee piece with him, a different piece for radio, actually a 10-minute piece, and Oisín liked myself and Joan Sheehy, who plays the other. My wife in the play.
He liked the
chemistry between us, so he thought he'd write a play for us, and then he based it on his grandparents. So if you can get all that into your head, and you know, we did lots of work on it, as in we did a shorter version, and then we had a few suggestions. So it's very much a play. No, don't get me wrong, it's very much Oisín's play, but it is a very organic sort of thing, and he's great at natural dialogue, which is a bit unusual nowadays. The younger people, I always say, they don't know how to talk to each other.
Well, that's because they don't talk to each other.
Yes, probably. Yeah, but he's a beautiful way of he's a great ear for. People, very ordinary dialogue, which means that it is quite hilarious, and I'd say as an actor, you know, the play is about an hour long, and it feels about 10 minutes. So that's a sign of a good play. I've been in plays where I thought I was on for hours, and I was only 25 minutes in. So. And they were usually my own place.
I doubt that now very much. Seamus, tell us about your character and Joan's character. You're an older couple. You're not in the land of 57 channels with nothing on, I'm guessing. But still decisions to be made about what to watch. And I suppose what you watch reflects the world that you live in. That's probably changing much faster than you are.
Also, I suppose what really... got my imagination going is a play about a couple who they have two grown-up kids in their 30s, and they've both left home, but they are babysitting the granddaughter, and you know, there is the possibility that maybe they might come back, which is a big danger, I can tell you from firsthand experience. The kids can come back to live with you when you think you've got rid of them. And then there's the things to watch and things that I never heard of. Things that you'd see on channels, not on the on our normal channels. I think
the normal channel terrestrial one, channels.
So obviously late at night there are programs on that I wouldn't like to describe on the radio because I wouldn't have to. But sexually explicit stuff, and of course their take on it is terribly funny. I mean, but that leads on to some of their own, you know, some of the little problems that older people guess and have and experience in the bedroom, you know. And so there is a serious note to the play.
Yes, of course.
But we leave the audience back, you know, on dry land. We don't
we don't drop them off a cliff.
I mean, there's also, I mean, you said Gogglebox, and that's very true, but it's also, there's strains of the royal family, if you ever, you know, where everyone's just sitting around, and it's kind of a look at, it's a very close up look at the personalities and just where we are today, I think. And what a lot of people like about the play is that it doesn't go into, they don't have these strange paths where they had, you know, affairs, or they had committed murder, or they were abused, or none of that. It's all very what's happening in the here and now, and it's very, you know, it's something that people can associate with. And there's going off into all sorts of dark places. It's really, you know, thrilling audiences around the country, and that's. That's the main thing.
So it asks you to kind of stay in the moment and be in the moment with these people as they're in that moment.
Totally, yes. Yeah. And the more we do it, the more we realize that people would almost like to watch us doing nothing, if you know what I mean. Because and very often, you know, when you start a new play and you're inclined to move around and do all sorts of things, thinking that you have to
use the stage.
Anne, myself and Joan have been around a while, you know. So it's that idea of just being in the place. And as I say, we're both enjoying it so much. So it's a lovely evening all around.
Yeah. Does it? What does it raise for you? You know, as a man who's well able to put a squinty eye on the world, you know, is there anything that comes up for you in that squinty
well,
eye?
I mean, yeah, it does. I mean, I thankfully I'm looking forward to I'm towards the tail end of my 50s, put it that way, and I'm just looking forward to getting grumpier and grumpier as I get older. I'm getting away with it. That's the thing. So
this is what the menopause does, is it?
I don't know what you call it. So Tony, my character in the play, he does a lot of giving out, but he's also fairly tight-fisted. You know, he doesn't believe really in true romance and lashing out money for going on holidays and all that sort of thing. You know, he's quite happy with staying at home, whereas Sheila, the wife, wants to get off and do things before they expire. To be fair to Sheila,
the reason Tony is having such a comfortable life is very likely because she's facilitating that for him. Why wouldn't he be happy to stay at home and be minded? And why wouldn't she be mad to get away and be minded somewhere else?
There are arguments, though, on both sides. And I know that in this day, in the world at the moment is ruled by women. And we will allow that for so long. But
it's noble of you. Noble of you. because they're winning at the Grammys doesn't mean that they're ruling the world.
I know. Yeah. I know. So the argument is there, and hopefully people will have a good row in the car on the way home and we'll see who comes out on top.
Yeah, well, you see, there is something about being, and which is a wonderful thing the theatre does, is it takes us into somebody else's life that could be our lives. We could be those people, you know, if fate had gone a different way, or we could end up being those people. And we have the opportunity to see them make choices that we can consider making or not making for ourselves.
Yeah, I think, you know, the play is so relevant. That's one of the first comments we hear from everybody is, you know, that's us. That's a play about myself and my husband, or myself and my wife. And that's always great cause for hilarity, but also just people having a conversation afterwards. And, I have to say, Oisin can be very proud of his debut play. It's fantastic.
That's wonderful. I have to say that anybody who thought that maybe watching a play involving myself and my husband watching television would see both of us fast asleep. I seem to be of an age where as soon as I sit down, I conk out. I get 10 minutes of Would I Lie to You and I'm gone.
Well, I went to the cinema myself, and my better half went to the cinema yesterday, and it's the first time in a long time that I haven't fallen asleep. So there you go.
There you go. Congratulations. Was it a daytime show?
It was a daytime show. Well, it was, it was about...
is that the answer, Seamus?
5 o'clock, yeah. Well, I forwent watching the match on the telly to go to the cinema. So, I mean, I'm doing my bit for, you know...
for the Sheilas of the world.
Keeping peace and harmony in the world.
On that note, you'll be bringing some peace and harmony to Tourard next Tuesday, the 26th of March. And thank you.
What a lovely theatre it is.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It's perfect for The Empty Nest, because it's just intimate enough for that sort of a scene, you know.
And that is wonderful Seamus O'Rourke. You can catch the play, The Empty Nest, at Tour Ard in Moat next Tuesday night. And that is it from Encore for this evening. Thank you very much for the pleasure of your company, and thanks indeed to all of our guests on the show tonight. Country Roads is up after the news at 8 o'clock with the best of Irish and indeed American country music, which I know you're going to enjoy. The texts are coming in already for Joe. I'll be back in this seat again next week with more of what's happening in the arts in Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Don't forget, you can drop me a line, encore@midlands103.com, at any stage, and I will be more than delighted to hear from you. Until then, do take care of yourself. Good night.
Encore on Midlands 103, your arts and entertainment for the Midlands, with the Dean Crow Theatre and Arts Centre Athlone. Imagine the possibilities. DeanCrowTheatre.com.